everyone. We are live. Today is October 3rd, 2025. Welcome to everybody coming in and the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us. I see people coming in from Canada. I see people coming in from Iowa, Ontario, the UK. Hello to our friends in England who are watching right now. I see other people coming in from around the United States as well. Virginia, I see as well. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I see Florida as well, which is where Eric Trump currently resides. So welcome to our friends in Florida watching. We're so happy to have you with us. So what we're going to do is, because we're going to get started right away, Eric Trump and Clay Clark are with us. So what I'm going to do, I am going to open up in a quick prayer, and I'm going to give these two amazing gentlemen an epic introduction, and then we are going to bring them in. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day. Lord, we praise you for another day. We praise you that you are on the throne and you are high and lifted up for above every power, principality, and might. We praise you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for our sins, Father God. We praise you. He is our advocate before your throne, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you order this time, order our steps, and order our words, Father God, as we go forth in you, Father. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as well, because today is Friday, Shabbat Shalom to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Happy Shabbat. Going to start at about sundown today. So, we have two amazing gentlemen with us, so let me intro them so we can bring them right in. Eric Trump is the executive vice president of the Trump Organization. He is the son of President Donald J. Trump. He was a speaker on the Reawaken America tour, and currently he is a speaker at Clay Clark's business conferences in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as well as around the country. And if that is not enough, well, now he has become a best-selling author. We will be discussing his book, Under Siege, My Family's Fight to Save Our Nation, in just a few moments. And also joining us, Clay Clark, who's the founder of Thrive Time. He was the co-leader of the Reawaken America Tour. He is a master of business and teaching how to have a successful business. He is unapologetic about speaking the truth, and he also speaks the truth of God's word every chance he gets. Let's welcome Eric Trump and Clay Clark now, because we truly are under siege.
It's good
Hello,
to be
gentlemen.
On, Amanda.
Thank you.
The intro was hot. That was hot.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy to have the two of you with us.
It's great to be on.
So let's talk about your first book, Eric, which Clay, you had a part in as well. It's called Under Siege. Tell us a little bit about it, about why you wrote this book.
Well, you know, man, I never thought I'd be an author, right? That was not, I'm a builder. I'm a lot of things. And honestly, the journey we've been under for the last 12 years with politics, with family, the story had to be told. I mean, they did everything they could to take our family out. They did, you know, they impeached my father multiple times. They stripped our freedom of speech, gag orders nonstop. Mm-hmm. I became the most subpoenaed person in American history. We all remember, you know, Russiagate and the Russia hoax, you know, which I was in the middle of. We all remember the dirty dossiers. I was deplatformed. I was debanked. You know, our company, they raided our home. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They raided Melania's closet. They weaponized every DA and AG across the country against us. They pulled my father off the ballot in Colorado. They pulled him off the ballot in Maine. They did everything they could to take out Donald Trump. They did everything they could to take out the Make America Great Again movement. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to kill him. You saw what happened in Butler. Then you saw what happened 8 weeks later at the golf course. Mm-hmm. You saw what they did to Steve Scalise. You saw what they tried to do to Kavanaugh. You know, and then you obviously saw what they did to our good friend Charlie Kirk, who's a very mm-hmm. good friend of mine. And they want to kill our movement. They want to kill our voice. Mm-hmm. They weaponize the entire government. And one day I said, listen, we are really under siege. I mean, they want to see us in prison. They want 91 counts against my father. They've all been thrown out since, but they wanted to see him behind bars forever. They wanted us gone. They wanted us off that stage. And so I wrote the book, and you know, it talks about the legal lawfare. Obviously, you go extensively into that, but also growing up as a Trump and, you know, and running the company and ultimately winning and prevailing. And last but not least, God's plan throughout this whole, you know, ordeal. There's mm-hmm. no question that God and faith was mm-hmm. guiding this. And at the end of the day, that's what we're fighting for, Amanda. We're fighting for this country. We're fighting for faith. We're fighting for God. We're fighting for freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, mm-hmm. Constitution, red, white, and blue.
Yes.
It's a beautiful story, and I put my heart and soul into it. We went number one on Amazon. We're doing incredibly well, and my competition is good old Kamala Harris. As over for 107 days, and yep. And I am incredibly proud of the book and everything we've accomplished.
Let's just say it. You're wiping the floor with her, Eric.
That's what we're trying to do.
Amen. Amen. Clay, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just want to say this. I've had the chance to read the book. I'm one of the few people that's been blessed to read that book in advance. And if you're watching right now, it comes out October 14th. And I want everyone right now, everybody go to Amazon.com right now. Find that book, Under Siege. You got to find it. Let me tell you about the book. One third of the book, and maybe Eric could correct me on this, but one third of the book is really what it's like Eric being raised by his father, kind of behind the scenes look. I mean, there's so many stories. I thought I knew a lot about Donald J. Trump and the Trump family, but there's so many just moving stories that will fire you up. If you're a parent trying to teach your kids how to become an entrepreneur, it's just so much there for moms and dads. Just what is it like to raise a Trump? All the Trump kids, grew up to become a reverse Hunter Biden. So it talks a lot about that. Okay. How to raise successful kids. Part two is really, what happens when your dad decides to run for office and he comes down that golden escalator, and Eric was, 33 years old at the time, and he's tasked with running the entire Trump organization, the billions of dollars of assets, the thousands of employees. And then part three is just like this perpetual under siege, the most subpoenaed man in America, Eric Trump. What's it like? I mean, the raid of Mar-a-Lago, the assassination attempts, it's all there. And Amanda, I said, Eric, Amanda Grace has some of the best listeners out there. The Reawakened Tour, we had some of the best people out there. We've got to do something where we can have like the triple win here. You get a great book, we get a chance to beat Kamala Harris, and we want a chance to win something. So Eric, I said, Eric, what if we hopped on a show, Amanda Grace and other broadcasts, and we give out your cell phone number, and we say, just text Eric Trump directly, a copy of the proof of purchase. Eric, I said, we'll just put your cell phone number out there for the world to see, and they can just text you. And Eric's like, no. We're running a billion-dollar company. Maybe we put out your number. I said, absolutely, that's a great idea. We'll put out my number. So this is the number right here. It's handwritten. It's very organic, Amanda. Handwritten. This
it is very organic.
You can
I must
text
say.
The number. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the stream right now, do it with me right now. Text the number 918-851-0102. So what do you do? Step one, buy the book. It's about $25-ish. Buy the book. Eric is donating a portion of the proceeds to the Charlie Kirk, the Turning Point organization. So you're buying a great book. You're supporting Turning Point. But buy the book. Text a screenshot of that book purchase to my phone number, 918-851-0102. And you have a chance to win a backstage pass to the upcoming business conference. Amanda, you'll be there December 4th and 5th, December, the month of Christmas, December 4th and 5th in Anaheim, California. And folks, you have a chance to check this out. I can't make this up. Eric is going to take you to dinner. So you, folks, if you're watching this, you could be doing dinner with Eric Trump and myself. That way, you think about this, folks. Eric Trump, you, me, us at Mar-a-Lago. So you have a chance to win a dinner at Mar-a-Lago with Eric Trump, myself. And all you got to do is buy a copy of the book. And Amanda, some of your listeners are great people. And yes. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you say, Clay, I'm in a financial spot. I can't afford to buy the book right now. I want to. I'm praying for you, but I can't buy the book. If you'll just text this number right here, we're still going to enter you into that drawing. So no matter where you're at financially, we want everyone to participate in this. This is the most exclusive club ever. And I'm telling you, it's a great book, a great cause, and your chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have dinner with Eric Trump and myself. Amanda, I couldn't be more fired up, and I want to show your listeners this right now. It's happening right now. On my phone, Amanda, I'm not making this up, and then I'll stop talking, but I want you to see this. This is real. We are getting a person texting in every minute right now, every minute, we're having somebody text in a proof of purchase.
I saw myself, Amanda Grace, on that thread. I saw me. I'm in the top. Yep. I'm on the screen.
And Amanda, and my phone won't receive a text more than once a minute. So it could be every 30 seconds. So everybody out there, get a conversation. Let's buy that book. Let's get to the top of the bestsellers list. Amanda, I'm going to take a deep breath and maybe a Tylenol. Back to you.
Okay, so maybe we can help with that a little bit here at Ark of Grace. If we will put up our email on the screen for a minute, this is what we want to do. The first 50 people to email us, hello@arkofgrace-ministries.com, your full name and address, we will buy you a copy.
Oh, come on now.
Look.
You're amazing, Amanda. Thank you.
You're very welcome. First 50 people to email us your full name and full address at that email, we will gladly buy you a copy of Under Siege.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And by the way, for all the people who want to go to Mar-a-Lago and want to get entered, we will have the greatest night. It's the most spectacular property in the world. I think everybody knows the famous Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. They've seen pictures of it for years. And I will make sure that the night is absolutely incredible. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But beyond that, just go read the book. Honestly, I think for every patriot out there, for every person who believes in God, for everybody who loves this country, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's a great story about how good can triumph over absolute anarchy and evil in the world. And I couldn't be more proud of it.
So let me ask, Eric, when you were writing this book, did this stir up anything in you that you kind of sort of suppressed after everything your family had been through? Did this sort of stir some feelings back up in you as you're recounting it again and writing it?
Yeah, there's no question. It was an incredibly cathartic process. I mean, I never thought writing a book would be, but, you know, you have highs and lows of life. And I saw that over and over and over again. And, you know, one day I'm watching my father almost have his head taken off at Butler. Exactly 48 hours later, I was the delegate that made him, you know, the Republican candidate for presidency of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, one day we're in a courthouse and we're, the judges are trying to throw my father in jail, mm-hmm. you know, and the next day we're winning, you know, an election against Kamala. You know, we won every single swing state. We won, you know, we won the popular vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's really inspirational in so many ways. When the walls are closing in on you, you know, you can persevere. If you fight, if you work hard, if you remain disciplined, if you remain, you know, optimistic, you can persevere.
Amen to that. I agree. Clay?
I want to just chime in with one thing real quick. This is powerful. Again, the texts are flowing in right now. Eric Trump, I'm bragging on Eric. And Eric, if this comes across like a passive aggressive statement, that's not what it is. Eric called me before the election. He said, Clay, we got to get a hold of Amanda Grace and we got to do one of those prayer things. You know, one of those prayer things where you guys get together and we pray. We're going to need God on our side. And again, Eric Trump is all about the Ark of Grace community. And I mean that. Eric, you called me and you said, hey, we got to do one of those prayer things. I did not call him and say, we should do a prayer thing. Eric said, we should do a prayer thing. I want to get your thoughts on this, Eric, because you are a man who loves this country. You love God. And you are also the man who said, we got to do one of those prayer things. Can you just talk to us about the role that you believe that God has played in your family's first term and now second term in the White House? Because again, that was a sincere thing. You called me and said, let's do a prayer thing. I just want to have you share your heart with the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an amazing prophet named Clement. I think everybody knows him, you know, very, very well. And Kim Clement and Clay played this great video. We talk about it all the time, but he played this incredible video for me about, you know, and years ago he did this about how a man named Trump was going to come down and he was going to be a prophet and he was going to be a big trumpet. Mm-hmm. And everybody was going to turn against him. You know, they were going to weaponize him, but he was going to speak on behalf of the people, and he was going to be loud, and he was going to be unabashful, and he was going to save a nation, and he was going to return God to society. And and his favorite color was going to be gold. And I remember mm-hmm. I saw that, and I started shaking my head and said, this is really incredible. But I felt the hand of God on my father the entire time. I felt it on him during the primaries. I felt it on mm-hmm. him in 2016 when we were at a 5-1 fundraising disadvantage against Hillary Clinton. I felt it on him at Butler, Pennsylvania, when, you know, he mm-hmm. turned last second to the right-hand side. The bullet just missed his head. The flag, the, you know, great American flag folded up right above his head in the perfect form of an angel. I felt it on him. The darkest moments that we had, Amanda, the darkest, darkest moments that we had, the next minute that there would be light. There were so many times where I thought we were down and out, that they had taken us out, that it was too much to fight against. And every single time, some window would open, some door would open, you know, some light would shine through. And there's no question somebody was guiding us through this process. You better believe the hand of God was on my father. And he was blessed throughout this process, and he was protected throughout this process. And he was given wisdom and knowledge. And he was definitely being guided, and we were definitely being protected as a family.
I 1,000% believe that. And I don't know if you've ever heard this story, Eric, and I'll tell it to you very brief. Clay knows this story. But when you had come to me and Clay and asked us to do the night of prayer for July 7th, because your father originally was going to be sentenced on the 11th, so we were all going to get together and pray. Well, when the sentencing got moved, right, which I had alarm bells going off in my spirit anyway, when I saw the sentencing get moved, I went to the Lord and I said, what do you want me to do? And he sternly said to me, don't you move that date. It was an order. It wasn't up for discussion. And I went back to Clay. I said, Clay, the Lord says we cannot move this date of prayer. I don't know what's about to happen, but something's about to happen and we cannot move this date. And so that's how we stuck with July 7th, which were just 6 days before what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania happened.
I want to interject one thing here, Eric. This is a true story it's so powerful. And I don't want to over-exaggerate my role or diminish my role, but Eric was going through book cover concepts. We were talking about book cover concepts. And this is like, 2 years, Eric, you've been working on this thing. So, you know, we're looking at it, and Eric was kept – the news keeps happening, and it's involving your family, you know. And so when I'm reading the first third of the book – and I mean this, Amanda. You know this. You've seen my library. Eric, you've done interviews in my office. You've seen the books. I've read The Art of the Deal, one of my favorite books. I've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, one of my favorite books. I've read How to Win Friends and Influence People. The first third of the book is like the most feel-good, wholesome father-son relationship, how to raise a kid business book. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I know the title's Under Siege, but you could call this How to Raise Great Kids. You could call this how to become a successful business owner. But then as things kept happening and Eric was participating in real time in history, the last third of the book, it covers in depth, the behind the scenes, the assassination attempt. This book was being written before the assassination attempt. So it is, and Eric is a methodical journalist. You know, I think everybody out there, if you're watching today's show, pro tip for you, every business owner, you should every day journal, write down what happened today, what's going to happen tomorrow, did it go well, what could you do better? And Eric, you methodically journal like next level. In your book, it's almost reliving these last decade we've all gone through together. Can you share with the listeners out there, Eric, your process of journaling? Because you're able to recall the being in the trial with your father with unbelievable clarity, or these events that Amanda referenced. You're able to like recall it with great detail in the book.
Well, you know, it was the greatest thing I ever did, to tell you the truth. I remember when, you know, the sham Jack Smith case, which was totally thrown out and in disgrace, where he's planting classified folders. My father's office at Mar-a-Lago. Everybody remember this is a boxes hoax, but I remember when my father went down to court in Miami to get arraigned on that. It happened to be his birthday, and he met me right afterward. We went over the plane together, and, you know, he was getting on the plane. My daughter was there, you know, 5 years old. Her name's Carolina. She probably weighed 40 pounds, and she runs up and she gives him a hug. I have a picture of it. It's actually in the book. I put like 100 of the greatest pictures you've ever seen, kind of behind the scenes pictures in the book. But she runs up to him. She goes, you know, Grandpa, you know, happy birthday. Are we going to the trampoline park now? I mean, he had just come in out of federal court. They had just charged him with the most unthinkable things. Again, a case that was totally thrown out. You know, he had just left there and, you know, it's his birthday and she's wondering if he's going to go to the trampoline park with her now. And it was kind of like the ugliness of the world meets, you know, the innocence of the world. And I also remember, you know, the brutal moments were coming out of the New York courthouse, and you know, he had just gotten charged 34 felony convictions in New York against a case that we got totally overturned, you know, and he stood up and he turned around and he shook my hand after guilty had been read out 34 times, and we left, and he said to me, I mean, he looked at me, he goes, honey, I don't know how, but we're going to win this thing. And when I say win this thing, I mean win it all, meaning win the election, win the case, win exactly where we are today. And I said, you know, Pops, it's either the White House or we're all in jail. And, you know, it was pretty dark. I mean, that's how big the divide was. It's either you win the White House or they are going to rig the system to make sure you spend your life behind bars. And you better believe if he was behind bars, they'd put me behind bars. They'd put Don behind bars. Mm-hmm. They'd put Clay Clark behind bars. You know, Amanda, they might spare you. You're too good to the animals. And but honestly, I mean, they were coming for us. I mean, they wanted to see us out. They wanted to see us gone. They wanted to see us bankrupt. Hence the gag orders over and over and over. Hence taking us off of all the social platforms. They did not want us standing on that stage. And yet there was also some beautiful moments. I mean, you know, standing there as a family, I was the one that told my father that we had just won Pennsylvania. I was getting the raw data totals coming into the campaign office. And I went to him and I whispered in his office, Pops, we just won Pennsylvania. Congratulations. If we won Pennsylvania, we won the whole thing. And, you know, we had the highest highs and the lowest lows. And it's just it was an amazing roller coaster. And I think and one that ultimately caused us to save this nation.
True. I truly believe you won Pennsylvania the day what happened in Butler. That was the election right there.
I think we won the election after Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking into the RNC. I remember I was the first one in the RNC that 2 days later, exactly 2 days after the Butler shooting, I went in as the delegate for the state of Florida. I voted for my father, and that made him the Republican candidate. And he walked right in, and I mean, the whole place, everybody in the arena is crying. Mm-hmm. Everybody's wearing the white ear patches on their ears, you know, as a little kind of tribute to what happened. And there were so many highs, there were so many lows, and all I know is God was guiding the process. And thank God we're here. And not only are we here now, I mean, every church in the country right now is full on Sundays.
Yes.
You know, faith has been restored. Family has been restored. The family unit has been restored. You know, I mean, just, you know, you look at government. They're actually working on behalf of the American people. Our Constitution is being respected again. We're not mm-hmm. being ripped off around the world. I mean, everything is going right now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the media that which tried so hard to go after all of us, everybody listening to us right now, they went after you. They went after your mm-hmm. church. They went after mm-hmm. your pastors. They went after mm-hmm. your husbands and your wives. They turned you down. They turned down the dials. They took away your voice. All of a sudden, those people are louder than ever before. All of a sudden, those people have a voice unlike they've ever had before. And it's because of the movement. It's because of the movement that was created by my father. It's because of the movement that we all kind of, you know, perpetuated. It's because of you, Amanda, and your voice, and Clay, because of your voice, and people who were never willing to turn it off. And it would have been much easier for many of us to just retire and take it easy. And we weren't willing to do that. And I'm just so proud of everything we accomplished.
Clay?
I want to share the story real quick here. This is so important for everybody out there to know. This is big stuff here. I was on the phone with Eric leading up, literally moments before the assassination attempt. And Eric said, got to go. And so, you know, Eric had just discovered what was happening. And I'm in the white van with James as my witness. And I'm like, he said, what happened? I said, I don't know. He had to go. And Eric's never done that before. And my wife sends me a text and says, oh, my God, pray for Trump. What's happening? And she sends me a text. And so, like, real time, I'm watching the video of the stage. Eric's with his children doing this. And we just, as a Clark family, I pulled over in the white van. I began praying for Eric. And then my wife and I, I'm just going to pray for Eric. I mean, just the profundity of the moment. And the next morning, Eric reached out. Eric called me the next morning, and we just kept going, doing the thing. And what I noticed about Eric was Eric has this ability. Eric, you've chosen to have this ability. It's something either your dad's trained you or you've taught yourself. It's a skill. It's whatever it is. It's an ability to block out bad stuff and to focus on good stuff. Return bitterness into betterness. And there's an entire part of the book that teaches that. And it is so profoundly important. If you're watching today's show and you've ever tried to build a wall while fighting, aka Nehemiah, if you've ever tried to do something that you don't want to do, aka Jonah, if you've ever tried to do something that God's called you to do but you don't want to do it, called Abraham, mm-hmm. God called Abraham to leave his kinfolk and to follow God's voice. If you're watching this show right now and you feel like you need to share the truth at the workplace and the office, if you're watching this and you're going through some adversity because of your convictions and your beliefs, there's an entire chapter of the book that could be a standalone book about how Eric processes horrible things that happen. And it's so unbelievably moving. It's powerful. And Eric, I think that's one of your superpowers, is taking a horrible event and not denying it. You're not in denial. You're not delusional, but you're dealing with it. And you're like, how can I turn this bitter thing and turn it into a better thing? And so before we go back to you, Eric, I want everybody watching this right now. There's a man by the name of Donald J. Trump. President Donald J. Trump, I'm quoting him. He once said this. Eric, perhaps you remember this quote. He said, I like thinking big. I always have. To me, it's very simple. If you're going to be thinking anyway, you might as well be thinking big. Most people think small because most people are afraid of success, afraid of making decisions, afraid of winning, and that gives people like me a great advantage. So if you're watching this right now, I want to think big. I want everybody out there, if you're watching this show, I want you to take one of three actions or all three. One, I want you to subscribe to Amanda's channel, because I don't think people recognize how that impacts the algorithm. If you just click the subscribe, you know, most YouTube channels have only 5% of their viewers that subscribe. So if everybody right now, if you just click that subscribe button, it's going to help this message go far and wide. It costs you nothing. You just click. Maybe you have carpal tunnel. Maybe it causes a little bit of arthritic pain, but just click the button, click the subscribe. The second thing is share this show. Surely you shall share the show. Five mm-hmm. times. Just text it like you're a new life insurance agent looking for a deal. Text it like you just joined a direct selling company. Text it like you just had an urgent breaking news that you want to send to your nephew, your cousin, your neighbor. Just text this thing with a sense of urgency. Text out this show to your friends and family. And third, I want everybody to buy this book, because you're buying a great book that has a lot to teach you about life. And Eric, I want to see if you could share about that, because in the book, I mean, your chapter about how you deal with adversity and your process, mm-hmm. to me, as a business owner, was one of the most powerful chapters I've ever read in books, and I like to read books.
You know, guys, honestly, we grew up in a little bit of rough and tumble, right? I mean, we're spoiled in all the conventional ways, as you think, but obviously we're in the business world, which is, you know, New York real estate doesn't get much rougher than that, right? I mean, we were surrounded by media our entire life, the public, limelight. You know, I mean, we were a little bit used to that, but I never forget. I started charity for St. Jude Children's Hospital when I was 20 years old. We've raised over $50 million for terminally ill children. And the attorney general in New York came after me like I was a dog. And when I say the lowest expense ratio of any charity in the country, all the money to St. Jude, we had a 9.2% cumulative over 10-year period expense ratio. No one came close to what we did. We built the largest ICU dedicated to children in the world. And one day I just happened to get a subpoena, and I want to investigate Eric Trump and the Eric Trump Foundation for his, and this was just a counter narrative to Hillary Clinton. And I remember how hurt I was when this whole thing happened. I was devastated. I put my life into this charity. And I figured out pretty quickly that there are some things that you just have to be able to turn on and off. And I also figured out very quickly that so much of life is a game. It's not a nice game. It's not a fun game. It can be an evil game, certainly politics. And you just have to shut the evilness off. And you have to compartmentalize it, not with emotion, but you have to compartmentalize it as the game that's being played. And that's what I did. I became the most subpoenaed person in American history, 112 subpoenas. I was getting one every single day for months. And you know what? It stopped bothering me. I was able to turn it off. I knew exactly why they were doing it. They were coming through me because they wanted to get to my father. And I happened to run the company. And I didn't have constitutional protections. He did because he was in the Oval Office. I was simply a civilian. And you have to be able to turn it off. And you have to be able to turn some people off, the people that bring you misery, the people that bring you pain, the people who haven't been loyal to you. You have to be able to turn them off. And by doing that, I actually think you're a much better person to the people who you've been around, who you love and respect. And I've met so many great friends through this journey. Amanda, you're one of them. Clay Clark, you're one of them. People I probably would have never have known. And at the same time, I had to turn off a lot of people. And so, you know, when you talk about compartmentalizing emotion, that's exactly it. You know, you can walk away from bad. You can walk away from evil. You cannot pay attention to it. You can keep your energy on positivity and love and respect and your goals and admiration, your family and your children and God and faith.
Amen.
It doesn't have to go to anything else. And I firmly believe that. I often call myself a light switch in that regard. I can turn it on or I can turn it off. And it's beautiful when it's on. But oftentimes in life, you do have to turn it off.
You do. You know, there's a scripture verse for that. He will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So whose mind is focused on the Lord and the things the Lord wants you to do, he will keep those in perfect peace and block those other things out that you're talking about. I want you gentlemen to know, as we're watching, we have over 15,000 people watching us live right now.
Amanda, I want to share this with you. You said 15,000. Reminded me of this story. Just an example of Eric doing this. I'm telling you, if you're watching this, listen, I read more business books than anybody I've ever met. And I'm telling you, the first third of this book is the best business book ever. It's like 100 pages of just awesome. If you watch The Apprentice, perhaps you've heard of that show.
Yes.
I've always thought, man, The Apprentice, what a great show. What was that like? Eric goes into great detail what it's like to be on The Apprentice. Eric, you talk about sending your kids. You talk about your dad is sending you to the work site. Your father is sending you to the work site at the age of 11, and you're actually working at the age of 11. And this idea of your father's desire to keep you busy and poor. To me, I'm taking notes, man. I'm getting out my highlighters. I'm going, okay, that's good. Because I got five kids. Eric, can you talk about that? Because I don't think people recognize. Yeah, they saw you on The Apprentice. I don't think people recognize you're cutting rebar at 11. I mean, you're doing conduit at 12. I mean, Eric, that's power.
You know, honestly, it's the side of Donald Trump that gets missed. I mean, listen, we were spoiled as hell, as I said before. We lived in the top of Trump Tower. We went to the best schools and we were always fed and we were always warm during the cold, right? We were given zero money. If we wanted something, if we wanted a bike, congratulations, go work for it. If we want a new fishing rod, congratulations, go work for it. We were making minimum wage. I spent summers cutting rebar with an acetylene torch. I spent summer with stonemasons. You know, they'd laugh at you. As like a young prepubescent kid, if you wore gloves while doing, you know, stonemason work, if you wore gloves while doing demo work, they would literally laugh at you because you were just kind of this soft kid. And I grew up with our foreman. I grew up with our construction guys. I did that every summer of my life, starting at age 11. And it did a couple things. You know, first of all, you know, by the end of the day, you were tired. So you weren't going out to bars. You weren't taking drugs. You just wanted to go to bed, right? I mean, it sapped up all your energy. Second of all, it taught you the value of a dollar. You know, so, you know, you bust your butt 10 hours a day swinging a sledgehammer or frying in the sun while, you know, torching rebar. You know what you don't want to do? Take the 30 bucks that you might have made, 25 bucks that you might have made, and go buy a bottle of vodka with it, right? That wasn't happening. We never did that. We absolutely never did that. And then third of all, I actually taught you a meaningful skill. I can't tell you how many friends I have that can't hang a picture on the wall. And if they do, it's, you know, crooked as hell and it's probably going to fall off. And, you know, that wasn't us. I mean, I ran half the electrical in my house. You know, when I moved into it with Laura, she's sitting there saying, you're going to kill yourself. I go, this is what I did every year of my life. And so it was the building blocks for what I do right now in the Trump Organization. And, you know, my father and my mother were incredible with that. If you wanted something, go work for it. There was no Ferrari at the age of 16.
Amen.
And by the way, I knew a lot of those kids, right? I knew a lot of those kids. And those kids, every single one of them found their way into rehab. Every single one of them failed out of school. Every single one of them weren't motivated to work. I mean, if you're getting that Ferrari at 16 years old, what the hell is the point of even trying to perform? Like what's your next aspiration? What's going to make you happy in life? And, you know, my father knew how to do it. He was a phenomenal parent. He expected results. He expected manners. He expected, you know, discipline. He expected respect for adults. You know, he led every single morning. Eric, no smoking, no drinking, no drugs, and you better do well in school. He was an amazing father, and I literally will try and emulate him with my kids because he did everything right.
You know, it's interesting because when you do that with your kids young, it does build character. It does. I mean, my parents at the age of 14, when I started working, they made me back then, which was a lot of money back then, give $50 a month into the household to start to teach me that it actually costs money to run a household and to teach me responsibility, to teach me I had to work and give into the household. So I think it can do nothing but build character in your children to teach them the way you're talking about.
Now, Eric, I have a small confession I have to make here. I'll make it. We'll just keep it between you and me and everybody watching this. You know, Eric and I were going back and forth on the book, and I'm reading the book and, you know, just looking for any feedback or you know, maybe edits, that kind of thing. And I had a chance to read it cover to cover, just an incredible book. And Eric said, hey, this cannot go out to anybody else. This is Clay, this is going to you. We're not going to be putting this Dropbox link on the internet. We're not. And I go, no problem. We've got a good rapport. Eric, I think we've become friends over these last 5 years and I feel good about it. And my wife said, "What are you working on there at the office?" And I said, "Well, I'm just doing a thing. It's just a private thing. Nothing for you to see. Just me and my clipboard over here." And she said, "Come on, let me see." I said, "No. Because I said, "Okay, I'll let you see a paper copy, but you're not leaving this office. You're gonna." So my wife flips through and she gets to the chapter. She's loving it, by the way. Gets to the chapter about your mother, and my wife goes into she's moved because my wife has always thought about. We have five kids. My wife's always talking about, you know, The Trump kids have turned out well. So you, your brother, your sister, your brothers, you know, and all of you have gone on to become successful, are becoming successful. Barron is starting to kind of show what he's all about. You, Don's had a lot of success. You've had success, your sister. And that chapter about your mom, I'm not trying to steal the thunder. People really need to read the book to get it. But can you talk a little bit about the influence that your mother had on your life? And as Eric's preparing his thoughts there, I want to remind you folks, I was checking my phone here. I'm not responding to text messages from my wife. I'm not texting friends. We're getting one text message every 30 seconds here. So my phone cannot receive confirmations of purchases more than every 30 seconds. So we'll get back with you. But again, text proof of purchase, this number 918-851-0102. Eric, can you talk about that chapter with your mother?
Yeah, honestly, Clay, I think that was one of the hardest to write. My mom was incredible. I mean, she was almost an Olympic skier, phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. She was on the runways of the biggest shows in New York and Milan and everywhere else. I mean, you know, a glamour icon. She was no BS. I mean, she was just tough as nails. I mean, one of the toughest women you've ever met, but also had a heart of gold. And, you know, it was a hard chapter to write. I mean, she influenced us in so many ways. You know, my father was very American, very meat and potato. She was very kind of European and knew every street of every, you know, European city, and he knew every inch of New York City, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were unbelievable compliments, and they were the greatest power couple. And, you know, it was a tough chapter for me to write because my mom had certain demons, you know, mainly with drinking, and I never really went out and talked about it. I think as you get older and you know, and you just become kind of no BS, and you don't kind of mince words, but, you know, I ended up, you know, finding her dead at the very end of her life. And, you know, it was a terrible experience, you know, to bury somebody, yeah. you know, way too young. And, you know, but she was an amazing person. She was an inspirational person. She was, you know, one of the coolest females you've ever met. I mean, she could grace the, you know, she could grace Buckingham Palace, and, you know, she could also tell a construction worker to go F themselves if they were, you know, if they were getting a little bit lippy to her. And, you know, she was just an amazing, amazing person, and very few were built like her. But she, you know, in terms of raising us, you know, we better sit there at the table. You better eat all your food. You better say please and thank you. You better have absolute respect for all adults. And, I mean, she was a force of nature and tough. I mean, tough, and a wonderful woman. And old school discipline, by the way. Amanda, I mean, if I got out of control, my little butt was bare. I was over her knee, and it was black and blue. I mean, she had this habit of wearing her ring inverted on her finger. You know how sometimes people do that? And so, you know, if I got out of control, again, this was communist woman from communist Czechoslovakia, you know, elegant as hell, but tough as hell. She'd take her little fingers, put them in your neck, and she'd do it back and forth. So on the way across, you got cut by the diamond ring. On the way back, your face got bruised. So you're like cut, bruised. But honestly, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to Don, myself, or primarily Don, myself, right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, we were type A boys, and we needed it. We needed to get whooped back mm-hmm. into shape. And she was an amazing person, amazing mom. She was tough. And she's certainly in my heart and soul. And I, you know, mm-hmm. back to kind of what you said, Clay, earlier about resilience, you better believe that a lot of her resilience came out of her toughness and, you know, just an amazing person. But it was a hard chapter to write because I did not mince words. I did not... Mm-hmm. hide anything. I lay it all out, and you know, I think kind of mm-hmm. you know, the truth led the day in that chapter.
Was that therapeutic for you to be able to write that out?
Yeah, there's no question about it. There's no question about it. You know, kind of finding your dead mother, and you know, kind of, you know, cleaning up the whole situation after paramedics left, and you know, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, being the person in charge of, you know, so many aspects of your family. I almost acted as a patriarch to so many aspects of my family. You know, everything yeah. kind of, my father was 100% Washington, D.C., and I was 100% the company and everything else that had to do with our family. And it was kind of my responsibility. And, you know, yeah, it was difficult. It was cathartic, but the entire book was honestly cathartic. I put my heart mm-hmm. and soul into it. This isn't, you know, go out and have 12 ghostwriters and, you know, read it for yeah. the first time when the thing is in its final infancy. Okay. I mean, I wrote every single word of this book, and I'm incredibly proud of it.
You know, let me ask Eric quickly, because your mother did come from a communist country, what did she think about what was happening in America? What we saw happening and unfolding, being that she lived in communism?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about communism is it creates practicality, right? You know, mm-hmm. it creates simplicity, you know, and so these people don't have a whole lot of tolerance for nonsense. They don't have a whole lot of tolerance for spoiled mm-hmm. kids. They don't have a whole lot of tolerance for whining and complaining, because I mean, she was one of the best athletes, as I said, you've ever seen. When she won a serious race, like this is like a, like almost grown up level, in a very competitive European ski race, mm-hmm. her award for doing so was an orange, like wow. the fruit, like an orange. And she had never seen one of those before. Right. I mean, this was mm-hmm. so novel to them. Right. I mean, it's just a totally, you know, different lifestyle. And so, you know, I don't think she had a whole lot of tolerance for it, but she was so cool in so many aspects. I mean, every day Anderson Cooper, I tell the story in the book, mm-hmm. every day Anderson Cooper was knocking on the door of 1064th, her house at the time in New York. And then it was other people from all the, you know, kind of mainstream media. They all wanted Ivana Trump to say something horrible about my father. And finally, my mom got sick and tired of it. Mm-hmm. She opened the door and she goes, "What?" And he goes, "We'd love an interview." I go, "I'm not giving you an interview." He's like, "Just tell me what you think about Donald Trump." And she looks at him. She goes, "Might not have been the best husband, but he is my best friend. And man, will that guy make one hell of a president. You just lost." It was like, it was so my mom, just so direct. She never held back. You know, it was so funny. But she loved my father and my father loved her. And they remained, you know, closest friends all the way till the end. And she's actually, you know, we created a cemetery plot for her that's literally right next to my father, right next to where all of us will one day be laid to rest. And I think that's pretty beautiful. I don't think you see that with mm-hmm. ex-wives and ex-husbands too often, where they're going to be laid to rest next to each other. And mm-hmm. that shows the closeness of our family, despite what everybody in the media was saying, the deranged family, the this and that. I mean, it's like so insane. I mean, we are such a tight-knit family. We love each other. We fought with each other. We fought for each other, and we never broke. I mean, Amanda, they can never, ever break us.
Amanda, I wanted to interject a one thing that I think people should know about Eric, and this is not an Eric Trump infomercial. This is just a real thing I'm sharing with you, my actual friendship with Eric, and I want people to know these things. Eric Trump, so many of you watching this, myself included, were praying that President Trump would one day see the Kim Clement prophecies. We all prayed that that would happen. That was something we wanted President Trump to see, these 2007 Kim Clement prophecies saying that Trump would become a trumpet, the prophecies saying that he would be a praying president, that he would not be a religious one, that he would be a president that would bring restoration to the country. There are so many of us that wanted to get that message there. And when I shared the prophetic videos, Kim Clement's videos on the stage at the Reawaken in Ohio, Eric not only didn't reject the prophetic words, he paid attention, he listened, and he set up an appointment for General Flynn and I to meet with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago to show those videos to the president of these United States. So prayer answered. But again, Eric had to have that humble heart to say, yeah, let's set that up. There's so many podcasts and broadcasts that want to interview Eric right now. Pretty much everybody wants to interview Eric Trump. All the mainstream media.
He's a popular guy.
But I mean this sincerely. Every mainstream media outlet would like to have Eric on. And Eric reached out to me and we talked. And Eric said, hey, Amanda Grace has some of the best listeners, some of the best people that watch her broadcast and podcast. I want to get on that show. Let's make it happen. And so, again, Eric is not a diva. He's not he's a man of the people. He's a more Main Street than Wall Street, in my opinion. And I just encourage everybody out there to know that regardless of what the headlines say, Eric, I've seen Eric do that. And then at our events, we were in Missouri, Amanda, there was mobs of people wanting to shake his hand. And Eric went out there and shook the hands of almost every person possible. And so I over these last 5 years, feel like we've developed a great friendship. And I just want everybody to know that when you read this book, you're learning about what it's like to be raised by the man who goes on to become the president. You're learning about how to become a successful business person. You're learning about how to deal with it all under siege. There's so much you can learn there. But again, Eric, I really do appreciate you coming to the Reawaken Tour, being on the Ark of Grace broadcast. And then also, finally, again, for somebody just tuning in, Eric, amidst all the craziness, all the chaos, Eric Trump reached out and said, hey, I want to get on Amanda's show and do one of those prayer things. And I'm not saying that in a patronizing way, you know, but Eric said, I want to do one of those prayer things. You know, the thing where we get together, we do the prayer call thing. I want to do that. And again, Eric made that happen. He made that happen. So I just, Eric, I applaud you for being a man of Main Street and not Wall Street, a guy that went out there and shook the hands. You traveled out to Oregon. You never canceled on any event. You always, no matter how many threats came in, and then you had a funeral that had happened. A friend had a funeral of some kind. And Eric rented a car and drove to the event to honor his commitment and his word. And so on behalf of the whole Reawaken Nation, the Ark of Grace Nation, I want to say, Eric, thank you for being much better than we expected and for being just an absolutely wonderful teammate to do these Reawaken America Tour events with.
Well, you know, Clay, never forget, you know, who got you places. Never forget, you know, who your friends are ever, ever, ever. And honestly, you were so incredible. What you did at Reawaken, you sacrificed years of your life to put on these events. You sacrificed countless dollars. I can't even imagine how much the entire series costs. And by the way, you moved the hearts and minds of a lot of people. And you better believe Clay was targeted for it. And Amanda, I mean, what you did, and obviously you and I became friends during that whole process. And I was on the show a dozen times with you at the Reawaken events and other times. And you were always out there and you were always fighting and you were always fighting for faith and you were always fighting for Christianity and you were always fighting against corruption, you know, and for family in this country. And frankly, just beyond all of that, for goodness in this country. And you know, guys, we did this not alone. We did this as warriors of people and people who stood up. And you better believe there are a lot of powerful people who hid in the shadows. And by the way, I spent a lot of time talking about it. My phone went crazy. My phone went crazy on election day in 2016. It went crazy again, election day 2024. Hey, buddy, how are you? I miss you. You know, sorry I've been so quiet over the last 2 years. I just really haven't wanted to disturb you because I know how busy you've been. You know, those people weren't there. And these are some of those most powerful people you've ever met, you know, and people who could have such influence. And you had others. that were fighting every single day. They were fighting in the good times. They were fighting in the horrible times. They were getting persecuted and prosecuted themselves, mm-hmm. and they never stopped. And Clay, you're one of them. And Amanda, you're one of them. And I adore you, and I adore your viewers, and I adore what you stand up for. And so you said, hey, why did I want to come on Amanda's show? Because of that, because of her kindness, because of her grace, because she was always there, because she was always had that beautiful smile on her face. Loves the animals, as I said before. You and my mm-hmm. wife would, you know, my wife effectively brings another animal into my house every, you know, 12 minutes. And never forget who was there in the bad times. And mm-hmm. and never forget, by the way, you know, who wasn't there, right? Like, you know, who disappeared on you. Remember those people as well. And, you know, and put them in a little corner of your life and don't give them the headspace that because they just don't deserve it. But you guys are beyond amazing, and you did a great personal sacrifice, and we love you for it.
We love you, Eric. Thank you very much. Now, let me ask you, gentlemen, where can they buy the book Under Siege? So where can viewers go and buy it?
Go to Amazon. Amazon's the, you know, been the best, the easiest, or go to Eric Trump Book. Literally anywhere you buy books that you can buy, you have to buy before October 14th in order to hopefully win a dinner with Leigh and mm-hmm. I at Mar-a-Lago. And I promise you, Amanda, that'll be the greatest. It'll be the greatest dinner. We'll have the greatest time. But go on Amazon, order your book today, and you know, and you'll have it. And make sure to text Clay that number, and we'll have the greatest time. Clay is like the greatest promoter in the entire world. He came up with this idea. He goes, why don't we do an awesome dinner at Mar-a-Lago? You know, it's a $2 million club to get into. You can't get in. It's probably the most exclusive place on earth. And I go, what do you want to do? He's like, yeah, people text me. Why don't we pick one person, you know, and bring them to Mar-a-Lago if they buy a copy of the book? I go, I think that's the coolest idea in the world. So I promise you'll have a night that you'll never forget, and we'll have the greatest time. And so text Clay's number.
Real quick, Amanda, I want to bring in one thing here real quick. Yeah, just so we know that it's working here, okay? Margaret Parker, big shout out to Margaret Parker, texting in proof of purchase to 918-851-0102. Thomas, big shout out to Thomas. Miss Morales just texted in. Miss Morales, big shout out to you. Folks, every 30 seconds, somebody is texting in right now. Unbelievable. Look at that. You just text the number 918-851-0102. You say, Clay, is this your actual cell phone number? This is my cell phone number. It is absolutely pandemonium here at the Thrive Time Show offices. And again, if you want to see Eric Trump live and in person at the upcoming business workshop, there's only 700 tickets that'll be sold for this mm-hmm. event. Okay, so we're down to 600 tickets remaining right now. It's Anaheim, California. Who wants to go to Anaheim, California during the month of December? I know, I do. That's December 4th and 5th, Anaheim, California. Anaheim, California. You go to thrivetimeshow.com. ThriveTimeShow.com. If you do use promo code Amanda Grace, you have a chance to get a discount off of tickets. You also get a behind the scenes chance to win a backstage pass. But if you win, by the way, if you win the Mar-a-Lago deal, if you win dinner to Mar-a-Lago, you also win a backstage pass to the upcoming Thrive Time Show 2-day interactive business workshop, December 4th and 5th. So a lot of chances to win there. You're also supporting the Charlie Kirk Turning Point organization. Yeah. And it is a book that is a great read. So there's so many reasons there. But Amanda, thank you for carving up time for us today.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming on. Always a pleasure to have the both of you on. It's always a blast. And we just so appreciate your time. You're both two of the busiest men I know anyway. And so we just so appreciate the two of you coming on.
Thanks, Amanda.
God bless you both.
Bye.
God bless you as well.
Oh, and that was Eric Trump and Clay Clark. It's like being on a roller coaster without a seatbelt, but like in the best way possible. We're going to put our email up one more time. The hello. We had said the first 50 people to email us your full name and your address, we will buy the copy of the book Under Siege for you. And if we have a little bit more than that, we'll see how many we can buy, basically. We'll see how many emails come in and how many we can actually purchase. So just email us your full name and your address and that you would like a copy of the book Under Siege. What a title for the time we are living in right now, considering what happened in September in this nation. So this title is actually so appropriate for what we see happening in this nation right now. Don't forget to like and subscribe as well. And we're going to just put up two of our sponsors very quick. We'll do Grid Down Chow Down. We're going to put two of our sponsors up very fast at the end. This is freeze-dried, grass-fed, grass-finished beef with a 10 to 15-year shelf life. It has a salvation track in every package. These brothers are preaching the word of God. It is incredible. You can also use this on your pets. So if you're looking for a healthy alternative for a snack or to put on the food, especially for your dogs, this is a wonderful choice. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Use promo code ARC for a discount. And as well, we'll put up my pillow quick and then we will end. This is Duchess, one of our pigs at the sanctuary on our MyPillow dog bed. It is Duchess approved. You can go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC to save up to 66% or sometimes more off of all MyPillow products. You can also go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on MyPillow. They are so much more than just pillows. They make amazing gifts. We're getting into the colder seasons as well, especially in the Northeast and the Midwest of the country. And so they have incredible blankets, sheets, robes, and so much more. So you can use promo code ARC at MyPillow today. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for this epic interview that we had with Clay Clark and Eric Trump. It was amazing. And you know what? You learned some things. I learned some more things about Eric Trump today and his family and his relationship with his mother. And that's always wonderful that you get to learn that about somebody else. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our team as well. God bless everyone. Keep the faith, armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day, encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, and 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, as well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every single day. Also, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Incorporate that into your prayer life. There is a reason Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way, and it is the order of that prayer that is so important to our prayer walk, as well as Hebrews 11, one of the greatest chapters on faith in the Word of God that was written. So we always want to encourage you in the Word as we leave. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. My husband on Monday, he has a very special birthday. So Chris is turning 60 on Monday. So we wish him a very happy birthday again. And thank you everyone for joining us. We will probably be back. Let me just think about this for a minute. I think we're going to be back on Tuesday. So we will make an announcement, but we'll be back live on Tuesday. We will be putting out shorts. So look for them as well, everyone. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith.